morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host on this Monday morning. I'm honored to have in studio as our guest this morning the lead pastor of Midway Church, Todd Wright. But before we get started, I feel compelled I need to make this announcement. This is from the family, or approved by the family of Mitch Gray. Early this morning, longtime B92 morning show host and UWG Sports Information Director Mitch Gray suffered a stroke. He was airlifted to Grady Hospital in Atlanta, where he has undergone surgery for a brain bleed. Currently, at this hour, Mitch is on a ventilator. And the family wishes his listeners to know, and they say this very strongly, that he loves them. And they're asking very much so for everyone's prayers. So if you would, keep Mitch in your prayers this morning. I know, Todd, that he's beloved by thousands.
Absolutely.
And he has been revered over several generations of listeners. So we send our prayers.
Absolutely. I grew up in Tallapoosa, share the same hometown. Mitch is an amazing guy, a legend in our own town. And he was refereeing and umpiring ball games when I was a little boy in my own life. And so be praying for Mitch, and I know the family will appreciate that.
And I know that he knows that with football season approaching us, he's everything that's possible to be done, he's going to do to get back on his feet and be with us.
Absolutely.
So we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about keeping life in focus, the new book by Todd Wright, based upon his radio minutes, after this word from our good sponsors.
As a graduate of Oak Mountain Academy, I found that my experience on the mountain prepared me beyond all expectations. As a junior at Auburn University, I approached my studies with great confidence thanks to what I learned at OMA. When I think back on my time on the mountain, I think of my teachers. Their genuine love and concern for me as a student was always evident. And now, as an adult, I still foster those relationships. I'm Carly Robinson, an Oak Mountain Academy alum. Visit oakmountain.us to see how you can offer your child an amazing opportunity to be a warrior.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
All right, we didn't start the fire, did we, Todd? We're trying to put it out, baby. Todd Wright is our guest this morning on the Community Voice, lead pastor of Midway Church. He's got about an 8-page bio, and I'm not going to jump into that, but because we never get through it all. Maybe it's not 8, maybe it's 7 pages, I don't know. But before we jump into the book, Keeping Life in Focus, just briefly, tell us a little something about Midway.
Well, Midway is actually one of the oldest churches in West Georgia, founded in 1847, just about 20 years after Carrollton itself was founded. So we are very well planted and rooted here in the community, very diverse church these days, a multiracial church, a church on mission, you know. So, yeah, just loving doing life and doing ministry together with people that God brings together as a family.
For those of us who go to a smaller church, what is a mega church?
Well, I never refer to us as a mega church. Some other people do. We do, at least before this pandemic, we would have regularly over 2,000 in attendance on Sunday mornings. And it just, you know, sometimes people say, you know, I like a small church, and others say I like a big church. But a church is a church where people are gathered together. But honestly, the mission is what has caused our growth and the belief in the mission to share the gospel, to invite people to actually have bigger arms, to embrace people that maybe in some ways are different than we. And so once you do that and you keep on doing that, after a while, it gets big. So,
well, and you've got a ministry staff, associate
sure.
pastors, and They free you up to do a lot of things that you couldn't do if you were.
Oh, absolutely. When I first went there, I was the person. You know, I was the only full time staff person. And today we have, I don't know, 25 or 30 employees. But people are able to specialize in different ministries like children or youth or technology with our media productions. And, you know, especially during this pandemic, it's been very good to already have had very well established communication and technology departments that have helped us really excel in being able to produce every week a good online service option. We've been doing that for 3 or 4 years before this, so that really helped us a lot. And we've been able to help a lot of other smaller churches establish those things and walk alongside them in the process over the last few months.
Yeah, they had to get up to speed immediately.
Sure.
Yeah, and that was
no warning time.
Easy. Yeah, it wasn't easy. Well, the one thing we're so thankful for and really is that we've been hosting for over 7 years now.
Actually, now it's longer. Steve, I met with you in December of December 2010, and we launched in 2011.
Really?
And that is crazy. I remember that discussion.
I remember vividly, big, giant conference room table. Yep. I was there. Dwayne Soule was with us.
Yes.
And you had associate gentleman with you.
That's
I can't
right.
remember his name.
Rex Pear. He's passed away now and in heaven.
He?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And he was part of that process and decision. He was my executive pastor at the time.
Right,
and
right.
So, yeah, I remember sharing with you a stirring inside of me that I'm convinced was God, of course, that – number one, I needed to do something for my own writing. I needed to get thoughts out. I had a lot of thoughts and stories, didn't have a process. And then I felt like in our area that the radio was the best way to share some of that. I began, you know, I'd written a couple of them and share with you. I really wanted to do something that appealed to the unchurched audience or people who may not perceive themselves as churchgoers, but believe in God usually. And I wanted something that really added value to every life. If they're breathing, I wanted to write things and say things that help point people in the right direction, because fact is we're all on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on a journey,
mm-hmm.
but people are at different stages of relating to faith, relating to life and death and their own failures. And how do we help them in that journey? Ultimately, hopefully find a relationship with God.
And I want to get deeper into that. Before we do, you mentioned radio. There's something, and I think this, of course, relates to preaching. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. The spoken voice is so powerful. It's so relatable. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's very powerful. First of all, I always laugh and say I have a great radio face. I'm not really a TV face.
Yeah,
but,
me
so,
too.
So my voice works well.
Yeah.
And
they're getting a double dose.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had no idea how powerful my voice would be or become in West Georgia. Actually, there are a few weeks go by, and my wife can vouch for this, that we're not in a public place and someone recognized my voice. And I never thought of that people could become that connected to a voice. And so, and of course, as you speak, your voice resonates and develops too. So it's both with my preaching and on the radio. I guess I have a resounding voice of some sort, but people look forward to the voice and it communicates.
You know, with our radio stations, I really wasn't real clear because I assume, I think rightfully so, that everybody's heard your messages. I mean, and so, but those who haven't, our radio stations have broadcast for how many years now?
Well, 2011. So we're 9 years.
9 years.
Yes. Yeah.
9 years. Your motivational minutes,
mm-hmm.
and you got one for every day of the year.
That's right.
And we broadcast them over 5 stations, and they
yep.
get good exposure.
Yep. East Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, so, all the way to Douglasville.
I remember you telling me one time you were ordering a hamburger at the Burger Chick, and two guys over to the left said, "You're that guy on the radio."
That's right. And again, I face that almost every week in some form.
Well, that's great.
Somebody, yeah.
Well, that testimony to your messaging and testimony to the power of that voice on radio.
I get positive feedback. People are encouraged. I think recently I was asked, what's the most powerful one you've ever done? And I think it probably was one I did on suicide. Robin Williams had just taken his life. And so a lot of people were questioning. It was very public. And I had also faced great depression at different times relating to my parents' death. Both of them died within a year of each other. And just seemed like there was a season there where I faced one challenge after another. And so I spoke about suicide. And I actually had someone who reached out to me by email and had contemplated suicide and was contemplating. We got them into counseling. And as far as I know, they're still alive and well and enjoying life. But to feel like maybe you had a part in helping save somebody's life is a big deal.
What does, I mean, as a pastor delivering sermons every week and as someone that has these motivational minutes, keeping life in focus every day on the radio, how do you think about what God does with the seeds that you plant and the messages that you deliver? I mean, you'll never know a lot of times the lives you've touched and have been touched.
No, I'm sure that's the case. And even in this book, one of the most recent ones was this morning. I get up, I get a text this morning, a long one, and a man's mother is very aged and hasn't been doing well. And he went to visit her yesterday and she was crying. I think she may be in her 90s, late 80s or 90s. And he gave her this book and she opened it up. He sat down with her and gave her this book. She opened up her Bible, looked up the passage for that day, for yesterday, read the devotion, stopped crying. Her entire countenance changed. And this morning, she was back in it again. He was checking on her this morning. And he sent me a text just saying, thank you. It's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to my mom. And last week, I got a Facebook video of a young boy who's about maybe 10 or 12 years old, struggling reading. He's recently been adopted into a family, and his mom said he can't put it down, and it's the one book he wants to read every day. And so those kinds of messages are encouraging, and they meet people at different points in their journey. And to me, that's what I think about as how God uses this. It's not always what we perceive as a religious thing, but it's meeting people in life and helping them as that little boy learning how to read.
Explain to me a little bit about the outline. I mean, we have a scripture for the day.
Yep.
We have your message, and then we have almost, I won't say necessarily a call to action, but a change in the focus back to the reader as to what they are reading and thinking and doing.
Well, I named this Keeping Life in Focus, and I always use the tagline, you know, I'm Todd Wright, helping you keep life in focus, because I think people make their biggest mistakes by letting their mind and their life wander. Mm-hmm. We do not automatically get better. Mm-hmm. Life has to be lived intentionally. And if you don't intend and make decisions that intend to lead you in the right direction, you'll go in the wrong direction automatically. So in the layout of the book, I've been asked the question over and over, how do I have a personal devotional time or quiet time or a special time with God? And I outline in the book how to do it. People think they don't have time, and this can be done in less than 3 minutes. The scripture reading and everything, 3 minutes a day. And it gets their life headed in the right direction, just putting the right stuff in. So you start off with the Bible, and I left it open. I just left the reference because people like their own translation, version, whatever, yeah, their own version. Sure. And so they can look it up. And then my thoughts or comments, just an inspirational thought or a story. And then the last couple of questions to me are some of the most important, mm-hmm. because it's not just what you put into your mind and in your heart, but then you have to make a plan or you have to decide to do something. So the last couple of questions is really about keeping life in focus. What needs to change? What do I need to do to help my life get better? And just ask a couple of thought-provoking questions.
I assume you recommend first thing in the morning, your quiet time, your devotional time be done
usually,
first thing?
Usually. I have found people that actually it's better at night. I think a lot of it has to do with giving your best time of the day.
How about both?
That works. maybe start off in the morning and the evening reading the same one. So that works. But as you well know, some people are morning people. Other people are nighttime people. And I think having that time where you can sit, relax, in total quiet and serenity, mm-hmm. and just focus and allow God to do a work.
Well, you know, in the 21st century, we're bombarded with information. Mm-hmm. We are stressed to the max with activity, and now with a pandemic, and it's just... it's just so overwhelming, it seems like.
Oh, there's a sense of desperation and hopelessness. Much of the chaos in the country, I believe, is a direct result, honestly, of 3 or 4 months now of shutdowns, and people have lost jobs, careers, and incomes, and there's a sense of despair.
Well, they say the greatest stress is financial stress.
Sure.
And if you're threatening a man's business, and I've had those emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm a dude that... spent 33 years full-time building these radio stations,
yeah.
And we're 98.99% depend upon local retailers, local
sure.
restaurants, local businesses.
Yeah.
And if they're struggling, we're struggling.
Sure.
So the stress of the 21st century is, you know, shows that we need a devotional book more than ever.
Well, I use this phrase, you have to mind your own business. And, you know, people usually say that in a very harsh, sharp way. But in reality, you have to take care of your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage your thought process. You have to put the right stuff into your heart, into your mind. And if you don't put the right stuff in, you're not going to get the right attitudes and the right actions in your life. And so writing this book, I believe, honestly, is a lifesaver in many cases.
Do you see this book as pointing us more into a deeper dive into Scripture?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually added the Scripture verses later. So when I give them on the radio, sometimes I have read the Scripture. Sometimes it's just a story I'm telling, but there's Scripture verses that go along with all of those things. And so, you know, I had one purpose and plan on the radio minutes, but then as I got about halfway through, let's say after 3 or 4 years, people started asking, how can I get that one mm-hmm. in print? Can I get that one for my son or daughter? I want to email that to so-and-so. And so it dawned on me, honestly, I didn't start off with the intention of writing the book. So that occurred to me a couple of years ago, two or 3 years ago.
When you told me
yeah.
That. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm getting close to 300 of these, and
right.
Maybe I can do one for every day of the year. And so we've taken about over seven years worth and put them in the book, and covers most of your holidays and those kinds of things. So 365 motivational minutes, and it's going very well.
How long does it take you to write each one? I mean, does it vary?
It varies. It varies. I've written them in as short a time frame as maybe an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, but always at least an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. There are times, though, it's taken me 5 or 6 hours to actually write one. So depending on the topic and the story, and some of them I struggle over, some of them come very well.
How do you go about choosing the topics for today?
Sometimes it's something that happens in my own life, something I'm struggling with myself. I often say, this is an attempt to keep my own life in focus.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt because now pastors and preachers, they got it all together.
Yeah,
right?
It just all comes natural. That's why there's never been any major stories publicly about pastors and preachers making major moral failures.
and the downside, and there's another aspect to that too. I think the Christians by and large, we tend to, if you will, just shove it off on the pastors and the preachers. You know, people ask us questions. I don't know. You need to ask the preacher.
Yeah.
And we tend to do that.
Well, people have asked questions about prominent church leaders or leaders in the nation or in the world. How did they fall so quickly when they've become disgraced? How did they fall? How did they fall so quickly? And my response is they don't fall quickly. They fall a little bit over a long period of time.
Right.
And that's about keeping life in focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen to a nun pastor and to every leader and to every dad and to every mom or every teenager. And that's why it's important to mind your own business. Take care of yourself, your soul. There's a lot in this book about the soul. I don't know if you recall some of those, but
I've heard them all.
Yeah, I know you have. But a lot of them deal with the soul. And I talk about soul care. I think we care about how we look on the outside, but you better be taking care of your soul, because that's the real you. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is really all about, is making sure every day you're putting the right stuff in to take care of you and keep you in line and in the right direction.
I don't want to forget this point of it before we take our break. If someone wants a copy, how should they go about getting one?
ToddWright.com if you want an autographed copy. And I mail them out the next day after you order. So you can order on ToddWright.com. In addition to that, they're available to Amazon. They're definitely available at Walmart.com, several retail outlets online. And that's, you know, those are the best way to get them. But if you want an autographed copy, it's ToddWright.com.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a revisit this even more toward in the fourth quarter as Christmas approaches. And
sure.
I mean, this is going to be a perfect...
Christmas for stocking stuffers, and also for the new year. People really want to get the new year start off right. So I'll do a major campaign in December.
Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll bring you back and have a good old time. With that. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back and we'll wrap it up with Todd Wright from Midway, keeping life in focus.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
I think that's pink. No, it's not. Oh, it's white. Come to me. It doesn't really matter. Bumper music is bumper music. Before we kind of get back into it, I want to read a couple of the little snippets from the beginning of the book from people that really love it. First one, Roger Patterson, who's pastor and author of A Minute for Vision for Men from Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Roger says, start your day off right with a dose of pity, practical wisdom. Todd's clear, challenging style will draw you close, encourage your heart, and help you experience the right focus that will change you from the inside out one day at a time. Anytime I can read something that says pithy in it, I got
that's
to,
right.
I,
that's right.
I never use that word. One more. Edie Hangy, probate judge of Carrollton, Georgia. Todd Wright is not afraid to be real, quote unquote. In his new book, he shares his own story. He struggles with humility and humor and gives a firsthand account of how God works in his life daily. I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit of that perspective on a daily basis. She uses the word humility. What is a good dose of humility for those of us in leadership in prominent positions? Because it can puff you up. Pride is...
success has a tendency to naturally puff people up. I'll put it the way my grandma used to say it there on Riverside Road in Tallapoosa, Miss Irma Bentley. She used to say, son, don't ever forget where you came from. And she has told me a few times, you're getting too big for your britches. I think we all understand those. And you don't have to be a kid to be getting too big for your britches. A lot of times adults do the same thing. And I think it's just realize humility to me is two things. One is realizing that you are on the same level with every breathing human on the planet. You're a creation of God, and you have no right whatsoever to a feeling of superiority. personal. Secondly, it's closely tied to meekness, which means to be teachable, to remain mm-hmm. teachable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a person who's arrogant is not teachable. And it's actually a horse training term. And if you find a horse that's not teachable, he hadn't been meeked yet. And it's only when he gets meeked, he becomes teachable. And until then, he can hurt you. And adults do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so to me, humility is always remaining teachable and always showing dignity and giving dignity and respect to every person at every economic level of life, every race, every class of people, every level of education. Doesn't matter. People are people. And because of that, they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect.
Mm-hmm. In the context of a question to R.C. Sproul, where it kind of diminished some of the attributes of God, his response is the problem with the Christian church is we don't really know who God is, and we really don't know who we are. In other words, we don't really, we kind of get it upside down sometimes.
Oh, yeah. People get, that's why they call it God complex.
Exactly.
A person who's flawed to begin acting like they themselves are God. It, to me, is one of the one of the greatest flaws of being born with a sinful nature, mm-hmm. and it's almost acting as if I don't have any of those sins or I don't have any of those issues. And to me, that sense of humility is closely tied to authenticity, just being real about who you are mm-hmm. and who people are. We're all flawed.
Probably the greatest challenge of the Christian church.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We're going to run out of time, and there are a couple of things I want to do before we do. But before we do, you attributed and expressed some gratitude to some people that were supportive in the work
Absolutely.
Of this book
yeah.
and the work of the program. And can you kind of give us a shout-out to a couple of those?
Yeah, sure. I think a key figure has been Michael Vincent, of course. He works here at the radio station, and since the very first one, he has listened to and edited every single recording.
Every single one of them.
He knows me, I assure you. And we have some fun. He's got a great sense of humor, but I'm greatly grateful for Michael. Also, during the journey, my wife would have to be huge because, you know, the people who know us the closest, when they choose to continue to love us the most, knowing all of our flaws, that's a pretty big deal. And so I'm grateful for that. Our leaders at Midway Church and staff, and Midway Church has actually paid for. This is not, nobody gives us offerings or money to do this.
Right.
But it's a ministry of Midway Church to actually broadcast, and they've paid for all the airtime, and I'm grateful for that. And then my grandkids, I mentioned my grandkids, and I dedicate the book to my grandchildren, have five grandchildren, and they have been huge in my life over the last few years because while I've been writing this and even battling some of my own issues in my own life, they've helped really breathe life into this next season.
Well, Grandpa, we've got a couple minutes left, and yep. I want to give you, as I like to do when I have a minister of the gospel in the studio, to for someone who doesn't know, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Wow. I think it begins with the fact that we are without hope. I have been lost. I was born with a sinful nature. Every person is born with a sinful nature. You never have to train a child how to lie, cheat, and steal. They're going to get it, and you have to teach them not to, and it's their natural sin nature coming out. And because of that, we're condemned. We're condemned. There's no way we can be right with God on our own. We can't change our behavior and get right with God. We have no hope of going to heaven. Death is a plague, and after that is hell, and we're completely condemned outside of that. And then here comes Jesus. God sent his only son in our lostness, and through his perfect life without sin, his sacrifice on our behalf for our sins, and then his death and his resurrection from the dead, it's through that as God's plan to give us hope if we'll put our faith and trust in that and in him. And so our condemnation can be turned to hope and promise. Our sins can be done away with, and the consequences eternally for our sins are fixed because in place of our sin, Jesus offers the free gift of eternal life. And so to me, that's the gospel. And that is indeed good news for all humanity, regardless of who they are. And that's the only hope we have, by the way. So that's the gospel.
And that's very good news.
Thank you. Awesome. Good. Awesome news.
Our guest this morning has been Todd Wright, lead pastor of Midway Church, author of Keeping Life in Focus, the host of Keeping Life in Focus on our radio stations. And he brought me up to date. It's over, what'd you say, 9 years now?
Yeah, 9 years.
9 years and counting.
We're in the ninth year, yep.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you having being with us this morning. We thank you for listening. We thank our sponsors, Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System. We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Laura Larson and more on the Community Voice here on WLBB Carrollton.